In this chapter, again, the Apostle John brings our attention to the incarnation. He says there in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt is an interesting word on this occasion. It literally means tabernacled. It is very right, ladies and gentlemen, for us to acknowledge that the Bible is a complete book. The New Testament fulfills the Old, and the Old Testament complements the New. And here we see a clear reference to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Many of you will be aware that that was the large tent where there was sacrifices made and where Moses met with God in the out in the wilderness when the people of Israel were there. The tabernacle, of course, was of very great significance to God's people at that time. It was located in a very barren place, a place that was hostile and inhospitable, and yet it was there that God met with man, because that is what we read in the Word of God. And the tent itself makes a very interesting study, and there are so many of the components that are associated with that particular tent, the tabernacle, that are types of Christ, or they are pictures that bring us to him and show us and teach us things about him. But the entire tent itself was a type of Christ. And tonight, as on this Sunday before Christmas, as we remember his incarnation, we remember that indeed, as John has noted for us here under inspiration, that he came among men. He came among men. He is the sole mediator between God and men. And folks, it is he alone that bridges the gap between a holy God and undeserving man. And tonight, in 2018, he's still among us. The world is still a hostile place to him and to his gospel. We read this morning from Isaiah 53 some verses about him being despised and rejected. And you and I are witnessing that being the case. And because of that, we have to say that even Northern Ireland is a place where there are still barren and hostile hearts when it comes to Christ and to his gospel. And maybe there's one tonight and your heart is still in the wilderness, far from him. Another year with all of its opportunities and all of the times that God may have spoken to you in ways that maybe you haven't even shared with others. But nonetheless, you've heard his speaking voice. And I wonder tonight, as we consider him dwelling among men, tabernacling among men, will you leave as you come in, or will you leave this meeting with him dwelling in your heart? And that is the all important question. And I know that for so many people in Ulster, Christ and his salvation is well down their list of thoughts. But all men need him. They need him for now. And men and women, we all need him for the future and for eternity. And I want in the closing moments of this meeting to give a title to the message. It's a very simple one. Christ tabernacles among us still. Christ tabernacles among us still. And as we draw this comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ, the one, the Word, who was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us, and the tabernacle tent itself in the wilderness, I want you to notice several things. I want you to notice about this tabernacle that it was a place where God dwelt. Some of you have read, I'm sure, much about the presence of God with his people in the Old Testament and the Shekinah glory. And no doubt, as you've read through the book of Exodus, you have read about the holiest of all, where God was to be found, and how the high priest would go in there and offer, the offering would be made with blood. There's an interesting verse over in the book of Exodus. I'll just read it for you. You needn't worry about turning to it just at this time. Exodus chapter 25, and this is a word to Moses, speaking about that very place in the tabernacle. And a saying there, "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." This was the greatest of privileges for anyone in that day, for God to say, "There, I will commune with you." If you, we go over just a couple of books that are so there to the book of Numbers and chapter 7, and away on in the chapter, in verse 89, it says, "And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him," that is with God, "then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him." Men and women, God was as good as his word. And he said that there he would meet and he would speak. And that is what he did do. And what a difference that made to Moses and his fellow travelers there in that barren, hostile, cold and lonely wilderness. God was there with them. Sometimes in our prayer meeting, we're thankful that there's always more than two or three, but sometimes in our prayer meeting, some of us will quote the promise that where two or three are met in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's a promise. There's more than two or three here tonight. So in a very real sense, Christ, as he has promised, is in our midst tonight. And not only is he in our midst as God the Son, the eternal Son of God, but he still speaks. And in meetings right across Ulster, like this one tonight, he still speaks to men and women. And you know, sometimes people didn't come along planning to hear from him. I hope you did. I hope you came with a ready heart to listen as he would speak to you. So many don't come wishing to hear from him, but some come and they feel they're undeserving of his attention. Well, I want you to know tonight, this is a place where God dwells. He tabernacles amongst us here tonight. He speaks to the hearts of his people and encourages us. But he speaks to your heart as well. And tonight I say to all the congregation, he's able to meet all the needs of your heart. All of your needs for life and for death, you can find tonight met in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that you've come to the right place, not because it's Ackle Hee Free Presbyterian Church, but you've come to the place where God dwells, where God in Christ has promised to be among his people. And surely that brings a challenge to your heart tonight. And it brings us that challenge that the Lord so long ago brought to fallen Adam and Eve. When he called out to them in the stillness of the evening, he called out to them in the garden, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" What a question. And what a question for us. Are we in him, knowing his blessing, assured of eternal life, content in what he's done for our souls, converted to him, secure in his grip tonight, or are we still far from God? In spite of everything that he has organized for us and all the opportunities that have come our way through the course of another year, are we still found rejecting him? Where art thou? That's a question that every one of us have to answer individually. I think of the tabernacle that reminds us of Christ in that as a place where God dwelt. But also the tabernacle in the wilderness was a place of sacrifice. Animals' lives were taken there and much blood was shed. In fact, the word sacrifice is synonymous with the experience of those who were in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Over there in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. And when you think of the tabernacle, you think of the sacrifices that were offered there. Turn your thoughts to Christ for a moment. We think of his incarnation and his coming as a little baby. But as every believer here tonight knows, ultimately, he came to offer himself. He came to offer himself a sacrifice for sin. Verse 24 of that same chapter in the book of Hebrews. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures or the pictures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entereth into the body, to the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin. And there it is, it's by the sacrifice of himself. We do think of the incarnation, of course, but for those who know the Lord and have trusted him, our thoughts always go from there to Calvary, to the sacrifice of the cross, to that what we could call a suitable sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ was impeccable, and he was spotless, and we all know the words of the wee song that we've sung so many times. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He was a suitable sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, he was the only one that was suitable. But he was not only the suitable sacrifice, he was the supreme sacrifice. If you look there just over a chapter in Hebrews chapter 10, it says there in verse 10, verse 10 of that chapter, I read quite quickly, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, that is Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see, it is a finished work. It is a supreme sacrifice. Many were the sacrifices, as we noted together earlier on, that were offered in the tabernacle. But Christ's sacrifice was once and for all who had ever come and put their trust in him. A suitable sacrifice in that it was spotless. A supreme sacrifice in that it's once for all. But you and I ought to thank God tonight. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. Could any of us in the meeting this evening put our hand up and say to God, you know, I can find a reason why your wrath should not fall upon me? All born in sin, live our lives under condemnation, with the shadow of God's wrath ever hanging over us. And yet the Bible tells us concerning Christ that he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He died our substitute. He suffered that which was our due. Someone worded it, and we know the words very well. He paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt he could never pay. Many, many years ago, one of the soldiers that was under the Russian Tsar was in a great state because he had very great debts. He didn't know how he was going to pay them. He was serving there for the Tsar, and he was planning to harm himself. That's just the way I want to put it. And the Tsar came along and found him there with what he was going to use in his hand. And he also had a note in his hand. And the note was to be his final note, as he thought. And he wrote there of all the debts that he had. And he said, "How can anyone repay such debt?" But he wakened up, whenever he wakened up from that sleep, someone had written, "I can." And the person who had written it was the Tsar, and had signed their name there. And dear friend, tonight, when you and I think of our sin, think of it for a moment. Even those of us in the meeting who are in tender years, not to mention those who are not, how can we ever repay the debt we owe? So we rightly, Christ in his substitutionary sacrifice paid a debt he did not owe, because I owed a debt there's no way I could ever pay. But when you think of the debt we owe for sin tonight, you think of how you can ever make things right with God, repay that debt, pay for our sin. You can think of the words tonight and think of Christ, "I can." We're back to where we were. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The place of sacrifice, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and men and women, he washed it white as snow. Do you know that washing tonight? Have you really been saved? Is there that evidence in your life that you've been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Notice something else about the tabernacle. The tabernacle in the wilderness had only one entrance. If you wanted to reach the altar that was associated with the sacrifice, you had to go through one particular door. And so it all is with all, with the one in whom all things are fulfilled. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The boys and girls here sometimes sing "One Door and Only One." And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? And that brings to us another question tonight. Are you on the inside? Are you on the outside? I'm not going to go into the fact that, and it is worth noting in your own heart, that Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm not going to go into that because I'm convinced that you believe that tonight. But the question is, which side of the door are you on? Are you on the outside? Are you in the inside? I've no doubt you've considered exactly what I'm talking about. If you look around you tonight, you know that many others are on the inside, but you haven't come. And you're still out. You're still outside the family and fold of God, in darkness and in danger tonight. So we draw your attention to the one who came and tabernacled among men. He's the only door. He's the only door to eternal life. Notice one other thing regarding this tabernacle. I thank you for listening so far as we've drawn your attention to this fact that Christ came and tabernacled among men, and he still comes amongst us and he still speaks to us. The tabernacle was a place where God dwelt. Secondly, we noted that it was a place of sacrifice. Again, those two thoughts reminding us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tabernacle had only one door. You only find one door to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only door is repentance unto life. Repentance and embracing him by faith. But the other thought is this. As you've listened to all that tonight, remember this. The tabernacle on the outside was not particularly attractive to men. The Bible shows us that it was to be covered with badger skins, but that does not refer to the little badgers that run around the farmland, possibly spreading TB. But it is a reference to what were a type of like a sea porpoise that were caught and skinned. And those were used to cover the tabernacle. It was not very attractive on the outside, but when you went into the tabernacle with the furniture and the hangings and the curtains and how everything was finished, there was great beauty and wealth to be found in the inside. You know what Isaiah said concerning the Lord Jesus? A man of considerable foresight and in touch with the Lord, he said, speaking of Christ when he would come, he says, there's no beauty that we should desire him. And maybe throughout 2018, he's had no attraction for you. Life without him seems okay. And you're now preparing to enter another year without him too. On the outside, there's no real attraction as far as you are concerned. But ask any Christian here tonight. And I can tell you too. When you're in him, there's nothing to compare. One of the hymn writers said that Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing day dreams I had fancied he could be. The girls tonight sung from hearts that are full of love for him. They sung about him. And they trusted that the message was a word to your heart, and I trusted it was. And now we've looked at the word together and we've considered again, it's just a remembering verse for us all. That the word of God became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. That means this is another night of opportunity for you. Whatever you have done with him in the past, and however often you have rejected him, he's here tonight, and you're here this evening as well. And he stands, as he's done on so many other occasions, with outstretched arms and calls to all who don't know him, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That can be your experience right now, if you will come to him. But I feel that it is my responsibility to say to you in love tonight, don't take opportunities for granted. God is great in mercy and slow to anger. Remember the Bible says, kiss the Son lest he be angry and take thee away with the stroke. It can all change in an instant. Come to him now. He's here tonight, willing to save all who will put their faith and trust in him. I trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart tonight. And if you don't know him, that you will know him before you leave this building this evening.